Glory be to God. Thank you so very much for joining us for our Abundant Life online worship experience. We're so thankful to the Lord, so excited. What a blessing that we can all come together like this. We have this precious opportunity, and we're not limited by distance or by space or by anything else, but that we can come together in the Spirit. And you know, the Bible says that wherever there are two or three gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst of them. So the Lord is with us right here, right now. And I'm so excited at the opportunity to be together with the saints. I hope you are as well. And I'm so excited, so ready to jump into the Word of God. I hope you are as well. I hope you have your Bibles or your devices, whatever you use for your convenience to access the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you to lift up those Bibles right now in the name of Jesus and take this confession of faith with me. Say with me, this is the infallible Word of God. It is God's will, God's promise, and God's purpose for my life. I am everything this Word says that I am, and I can do everything that this Word says that I can do. I receive into the prepared soil of my heart today the seeds of the Word of God. And I declare by faith that it is producing in every area of my life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, saints, for joining us. Wherever you are joining us from, God bless you. Let's get into the Word. For a while, since the year started, during all of our ALO services, we have been ministering on the theme, On Time God, On Time Release. And we actually have focused a little bit on the sub-theme, I will restore unto you the years. That's what God said to His people through the prophet Joel. He said, I will restore unto you the years. And I would like us to really get into what the Lord has for us today. I'm going to have us in just a moment go and read from 1 Samuel chapter 30. But let's start out from that promise that the Lord gave His people in the book of Joel in chapter 2. He says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the rain, the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Then He said in verse 24, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. That's talking about a deluge of the blessings of God that would be totally different from what the people of God at the time were currently experiencing. They were experiencing shame. They were experiencing deprivation. A lot of them were in captivity. So many of them were waiting on promises that had not yet been fulfilled. The Lord said, you will forget all of that because I will cause there to be radical change in your life. I believe the Lord is saying that. He's been saying that to us for a few months. And I believe He's saying that to us again today. I will cause there to be radical change in your life. And then He said in verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army, which I sent among you. verse 26, and it says, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed." I declare to you in the name of Jesus that shame will be far from your abode. Shame will be far from your household. You will inherit the blessings of the glory of God. Whatever it is you are doing, whatever it is your calling, your purpose, your destiny, your vocation is, you will see the glory of God in the name of Jesus. In just a little while, you will forget everything that the enemy has ever done that made you experience different from the promises of God. Can somebody shout amen wherever you are? Hallelujah. He says, "I will restore to you the years." I want us to go and read from 1 Samuel and chapter 30, a very, very important, powerful, and very popular story about David and his men when the Amalekites attacked them. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We feel his presence already. Can you? I said, can you? Amen. Glory be to God. He says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and they had smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You know, this is a situation that is close to what a lot of us believers experience from time to time. Losses. We come under heavy attack. And sometimes the enemy even suggests the reason we're having the attack is because we've done something wrong. But that is not necessarily the truth. And yet there are some times when we fall into traps of the enemy because we are either unsuspecting or we are foolish. But a lot of times in our lives, when we actually come under a heavy assault of the enemy, it's not because of any of those two things. Sometimes we're doing the right thing and we just came into a season when the enemy chose to come against us. And, you know, sometimes the Lord will allow that. Sometimes the Lord will allow that because he knows what he has prepared on the other side, on the other side of the attack. David had not done anything wrong. In fact, in the previous chapter of this story, before this story, the faithfulness and the loyalty of David were talked about. David had been firm in his commitment to God, in his commitment to the covenant, in pursuing the things that God had given him to pursue. Hallelujah. So it was not because he had done something wrong, he was foolish, he had made some mistakes or whatever, though that could very well have happened. But in this case, That's not what happened. And so when the attack came, of course, naturally, like we all do, right? Like we all do. Everybody lifted up their voices and they wept and they wept and they wept until they had no more energy to weep. You know, sometimes that's the way it happens to us as well. We go over everything. We look at all the terrible things that have happened. We look at our situation. We look at our health. We look at the way people have treated us. We weep and we weep and we weep until we have no more energy to weep. And sometimes we're not weeping out physically where people can hear us. Sometimes we're weeping on the inside, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Sometimes we're just weeping in there, just weeping in there. But hallelujah, thank God, because David did the right thing. The Bible says at some point he got up and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Even though the people were talking about stoning him, because everybody... people want to blame somebody. When something goes wrong, everybody wants to blame somebody, which is okay. That's the burden of leadership. But praise God, David did the right thing. And I'm praying that in your moment of challenge, in your moment of difficulty, you will get up and you will do the right thing. My prayer for you is that when that moment comes, you will get up, you will shake yourself up, you will encourage yourself in the Lord. You'll be strong in the Lord your God, and you will do the right thing. Let's read here in verse 6, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And verse 7, I love this, I love this. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, he said, "I pray thee, bring me here the ephod." And Abiathar brought there the ephod unto David. The ephod was the way in which they sought the Lord, was the way in which they inquired of the Lord, was the way in which they received wisdom for the moment. Wisdom. You know, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. So with all you're getting, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Hallelujah. Must be at the beginning of everything we do. Oh, hallelujah. Must be at the beginning. Hallelujah. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop?" That's wisdom. "Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." I love it. The Lord said unto him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." You will recover all in the name of Jesus. We have all lost something. Amen. We've talked about this. Time, opportunities, resources, valuable relationships, sometimes health, sometimes favors, sometimes things that are really important to us. And a lot of times in our life, we feel like we are so behind schedule. But God said, "I will restore to you the years." Can you say this with me one more time in faith? Just make that confession of faith. God will restore to me the years. Come on, make that confession of faith one more time. Say, "God will restore to me the years." Amen. I want you to keep this very strongly in your spirit. God is committed and restoration is sure. His restoration is thorough, complete, and over the top. I've got to say that one more time. God is committed and restoration is sure. His restoration is thorough, complete, and over the top. But you have a part and I have a part to play in the process. Many times, as God's children, it is very easy for us to assume God has all the responsibility. Yes, God will restore to me the years. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. And he will. Yes, he will. He's faithful. But folks, my brothers and my sisters, you have a part to play in this process. You have a part to play in this process. And I have a part to play in this process. Remember, when David went to the Lord to ask him, David didn't say, Lord, will you take care of everything? Will you just do everything? Or do I just sit down and just fold my hands and do nothing? No, David said, Lord, should I pursue them? Should I pursue them? And the Lord said, yes, I'm glad you asked, in fact. Pursue them. Pursue them. For you will overtake them. And surely, you will recover everything. You will recover everything. I love it. In that 8th verse of 1 Samuel chapter 30 that we read, in the New Living Translation, he says, you will surely recover everything that was taken from you. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Oh, glory be to God. Saints, can we make this confession together? Can we declare it together today? I will surely recover everything that has been taken from me. Everything. Everything. Everything that has been taken away from us that causes our lives to be any less than the best that God prepared for us. Anything that has been taken away from us through our destiny, through our journey, that makes us in any way less, any way, shape, or form, less than the ultimate best that God created for us. You know, his thoughts towards us are thoughts of good. They are the best thoughts. God wants you to drink the best wine. God wants you to have the best life. God wants you to have a glorious destiny. So anything, be it spiritual, be it emotional, be it mental, be it psychological, be it relational, be it physical, be it in your material well-being, in your finances, be it in your vocation, in your ministry, in your career, in your business, in any area of your life, anything that has been taken away from us, that makes us any less than the best that God ordained our lives to be, the Lord is saying to you today, you will recover everything. You will recover everything that has been taken away from you. Say that with me again. I will recover everything that has been taken away from me. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? Say, I receive it. Say, I believe it, I receive it. Now, I want you to look closely. The Lord said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Now, the key to these promises, God will restore to us the years. The key to these promises, you will recover everything that has been taken from you, is in that one word, the very beginning of the instruction that the Lord gave. He said, pursue. Pursue. That's the first thing he said. Pursue. Pursue. Say that word with me. Pursue. Say it again. Say pursue. Say it one more time. Say pursue. That word pursue means to go after it with everything, in every way, and do it to the uttermost. Go after it with everything, in every way, and do it to the uttermost. The word is a Hebrew word, radap, R-A-D-A-P, radap. It's a verb meaning to pursue, to chase after, to persecute. It means to pursue someone in a hostile manner. Remember when Abraham pursued Lot's brothers, Lot's captors, his nephew Lot's captors, when he was captured in Genesis chapter 14. He went after them with his entire household of army. All the soldiers that he had in it, every single person, young and old, he took everybody and went after this huge army, this conglomerate army of five kings. And the Bible says God gave him the victory. He pursued. Say that word with me one more time. Pursue. Pursue. Notice, the word pursue doesn't mean sit down, do nothing. The word pursue doesn't mean let God do everything. Doesn't mean sit at home and hope for the best. Notice, the word pursue doesn't mean just keep on going on in life and just hope and pray that some way or the other something good happens. No. No. Pursue. Pursue. Go after it. With everything. In every way. And do it. To the uttermost. Do it to the uttermost. God shows us a good example. The real meaning of pursue. Because when God pursues, he pursues his enemies into the darkness, the Bible says. When God pursues, he pursues his enemies into the darkness. Well, that means to utterly wipe them out. To utterly wipe them out. Remember what the Lord said. This same Amalekite that had just attacked David. You remember the instruction that God gave to King Saul. Remember the instruction God gave to King Saul? Remember? He said unto him, I want you to go and destroy Amalek. This same Amalekite. I want you to go and destroy Amalek. Destroy them. He said, wipe them off completely. Destroy. That's because of what they did to the children of Israel. When the children of Israel, first of all, came out of the captivity of Egypt, the Amalekites, they were such an evil, hostile, antagonistic adversary of the people of God. And they didn't fight fair. The Amalekites were like, they fought like Satan fights. He looks for advantages. He creeps up on us. He looks for our weak spots. Hallelujah. He looks for areas of vulnerability. He looks when we are sleeping and we're not paying attention. He looks when we are carried away, sometimes with success. Sometimes when we are carried away with the blessings of God. When we are unsuspecting. Satan, he strikes us hard. He strikes us hard. Remember, that's what he did. That's what Amalek did to the children of Israel when they came out of captivity in Egypt. The Bible says he went to the back. You know, the soldiers usually will go up front. The strong men, all of them will be up front. But he attacked them from the rear, where the women were, where the little children were, the defenseless. That's where Amalek attacked them. That's Satan's modus operandi. That's his MO. That's his way of coming at believers. Hallelujah. He doesn't come at you when you are your strongest spiritually. He doesn't come at you. Look in your life and look at every season. Whenever the enemy has stolen from you, whenever the enemy has taken away from you, whenever the enemy has launched his great attacks against you, it's usually not when you are your strongest. It's usually not when you are really close to the Lord and when you are really, no. He comes and looks for your soft spots. He looks for your weak openings. And when he finds them and he finds those vulnerable moments, then he lunges at you and tries to decapitate you. He kneecaps your faith and takes advantage of your vulnerability. Hallelujah. But the Lord is saying to us, regardless of what Satan has done, regardless of how the enemy has walked, he is restoring to us the years. Oh, glory be to God. He is restoring to you the years. He's restoring to you. He's shoring up your defenses. Hallelujah. He's giving you back whatever Satan stole away from you. Hallelujah. God, when he pursues and completely wipes out. He said to Saul, I want you to go and destroy Amalek. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. I just told you why. And because Saul didn't do it, they got a chance to come back and do it to David right here. Right here. But the Lord, when he pursues, he completely wipes out. Completely. You look at Nahum. You just look on there. It might be on our screen. Nahum chapter 1 verse 8. I really like the English Standard Version. It says, but with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into the darkness. He will pursue his enemies into the darkness. To pursue them into the darkness means to utterly wipe them out. To utterly wipe them out. So when the Lord said to David, pursue, the very first thing he said, pursue, means go after them with everything, in every way, and utterly wipe them out. Go after them with everything, in every way, and to the uttermost. God is committed. Restoration is sure. His restoration is thorough, complete, and over the top. But you have a part. I have a part. You have a part. I have a part. Hallelujah. We must play our part in the process. God said to David, pursue. Radap. Pursue. Go after them. With everything. In every way. To the uttermost. Go after them. With everything. In every way. To the uttermost. Say that with me. I'm going after them. Say it again. Say, I'm going after them. With everything, in every way, and to the uttermost. Ooh, glory be to God. Pursue, overtake, recover all. That means we must believe God's promise. That means we must expect divine intervention. That means we must go after it. We must go after it. We must not sit back. That means we must possess our restored blessing. Hallelujah. We must believe God's promise. We must expect divine intervention. We must go after it with everything. And we must possess our restored blessing. What is our part? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see good coming back to you. I can see the Lord restoring to you your fortunes. I can see the Lord bringing back everything that the enemy has stolen. I can see the Lord bringing back the blessings of life that may have been taken away from you. Restoring opportunities everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Remember that scripture that says, everywhere you look, blessings. Amos 9, everywhere you look, there'll be blessing. Because God will restore everywhere. God will restore everywhere. God will restore. I said, God will restore everywhere. Shout amen if you believe it. Shout amen if you believe it. God will restore everywhere. He will restore everywhere. Ooh, Jesus. Our part, doing our part means, listen to this now. Listen to this. You gotta, and if you are taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. Doing our part means doing everything in your ability within the sphere of the Holy Spirit's guidance and your inner convictions to pursue and to possess every spiritual, natural, and material benefit that has been arranged for you by the Lord. Listen to that one more time. Doing everything within your ability that is within the sphere of the Holy Spirit's guidance and your inner convictions to pursue, to possess every spiritual, natural, and material benefit that has been arranged for you by the Lord. Let's break it up into three parts. Doing everything in your ability. Everything in your ability. Doing everything. Don't leave any stone unturned. Doing everything in your ability. When somebody says to me, "Pastor, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I believe God is going to do it. Yes, I'm waiting for the Lord today." I say, "Have you done everything? Have you done everything in your own ability? Have you done everything that you can possibly do?" Doing everything in your ability. Second part, that is within the sphere of the Holy Spirit's guidance and your inner convictions. So that means we're not just doing everything, trial and error, trying to throw whatever will stick at the wall. No, no, no. Doing everything in our ability within the sphere of the Holy Spirit's guidance and our inner convictions. If it doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit's guidance and your inner convictions, then don't do it. Don't do it. And the third part is to pursue, to go after it. Pursue and possess every spiritual, natural, and material benefit that has been arranged for you by the Lord. We must believe it. We must believe the word of the Lord, the promises of the Lord. We must expect it. We must expect God to come through for us as we do our part. We must pursue it, go after it with everything, in every way, to the uttermost. And we must possess it. Hold on to it. When you get it, hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. Remember Job. It is very important to keep in mind, just saying, "Oh, I've done my part," or "I know God can," is not good enough. Yeah, I know God can do what he said. Yeah, yes, he can. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough to say, "I know God can." I know God can. I know in our last service, we read from Job chapter 42 and verse 2. Hallelujah. I don't know how much time I have here. Not too much time, so I can move on really quickly here. Job said, "Lord, I know you can do everything." I know we read that in the Amplified. Job chapter 42. In the Amplified, we read that in the Amplified. And I especially love the message. He said, "Lord, you can do anything and you can do everything. And no one can stop your plans." Hallelujah. You can do anything and you can do everything. No one can thwart, withhold you. Nothing can be withholding from you. He said, the Amplified, "I know you can do all things. No thought or purpose of yours can be restrained or thwarted." In the Message, he said, "You can do anything and everything. No one can stop your plans." Yeah, that's true. That's true. Job said that. But remember, he didn't just say that and stop there. He did something. He went beyond just saying that. "Oh, God, I know you can. Oh, yes, God, I know you can. Oh, yes, God, I know you can." But remember, God didn't say, "I can restore to you the years." He said, "I will restore to you the years. I will restore to you the years." So part of our pursuing, part of our going after it, is to firmly believe the word of the Lord, to firmly expect the word of the Lord, to firmly wage war with the word of the Lord, and to firmly possess our inheritance with the word of the Lord. Job said, "I know you can," but then notice, that's in verse 2 of Job 42, but then notice, he went beyond just saying, "I know you can," and in verse 10, he actually acted on what he said he knew God could do. He actually stepped out and acted on it. He proved his believing. He proved his believing. Believing is not just saying, I know God can. I know God can. No, that's not believing. Oh, I know God can. That's not believing. I know God can. And that's not believing. Because in verse 10, the Bible says, then Job prayed. God restored his fortune. Rob restored his fortune when Job prayed for his friends. Well, what does this praying for his friends mean? If you can pray for those his friends with all the things they said against God, in fact, in Job 42, God called his friends, Eliphaz and the rest of them. Say, you've spoken bad about me. You've spoken bad about my servant Job. I need you to go and make some sacrifice. And then because you've done bad, you've done wrong. And if you can believe that God can accept Job's friends in spite of all they did, and God can turn their own captivity, then that is faith. The Bible says Job prayed for his friends. He said, God, I know you can do everything. So I know you can do so. I'm going to pray for even these hopeless ones. I know you can do something. Even this hopeless situation, I know you can do something. I know you can do something. He demonstrated what he said he believed. He demonstrated it. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says God restored twice what he lost. What about Abraham? Remember the story of Abraham? In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says God quickens the dead. God gives life to the dead, and he calls the things that be not as though they were. We know God brought restoration. He restored Abraham's life. He restored the years to him. He restored his organs, his wife's organs. And God brought them their dream child. Ha ha ha. Even when the world thought it was too late. But what was Abraham's part in that? Did God just do everything and did Abraham just sit back? No, you remember the story from Genesis? That Abraham had to get to the point where he actively demonstrated what he believed. He had to change his mind. God changed his name. God changed his vision. God changed his expectation. And finally, he believed the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Did God just do everything and Abraham did nothing? Oh, no, 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 no. Look at it in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God who quickens the dead and calls the things that be not as though they were. So we know God does that. We know God did that. But what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do? In verse 18, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. That's Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. The Amplified Bible says in verse 18, human reason for hope being gone, Abraham hoped in faith that he would become a father of many nations. Human reason being gone, Abraham hoped in faith. I really love the Message translation of verse 18. He said, when everything was hopeless, oh Jesus, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. When everything was hopeless, the people say, yeah, I know God can, he's the all-powerful God, he's the almighty. That is not faith. God can is not faith. God can is not faith. This is where so many believers are stuck in attaining unto the promises of the Lord in their lives. Oh, I know God can. I know God can. That's not faith. In the Message translation, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to leave not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made the father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you are going to have a big family, Abraham. You are going to have a big family, Abraham. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. When everything was hopeless, folks, Abraham believed anyway. Do things look hopeless in some areas of your life? Does it look that that promise may never come to pass? Does it look like it's going to be a long way, almost an impossible feat to get to where you always dreamed you would get to? Well, I'm here to announce to you, on the authority of the Word of God, that if you will believe anyway, when everything looks hopeless, God will arise and God will restore to you the years. God will perform His good word towards you. Can somebody say amen? Come on, somebody, shout a living hallelujah. Shout a living hallelujah. As I begin to bring this message today to a close, let's focus a little bit more on what it means to believe. You remember the leper in the New Testament? Hallelujah. I believe that was Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 42. You remember that leper? Remember the story of that leper? That man, he exemplifies the way a lot of believers think about what it means to believe. But that's why a lot of believers never receive the benefits and the rewards of believing. A lot of believers say, I know God can. God said, I will restore to you the year. I know God can. God said, I didn't say I can. God didn't say, I can restore to you. He didn't say, well, He can. Yeah, He can. But many believers have bought the seed of faith in their lives. I know God can. I know God can. No. God didn't say I can. God said, I will. I will. Look at that leper in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. This man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it in verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. That is, I know you can, but I don't know that you will. See, that's what a lot of people are really saying. When they say, I know God can, but they don't say, I know God will for me right here, right now. A lot of them say, I know God can, but they don't say, I know God will do it for me right here, right now. I know God will do it for me right here, right now. And because they can't say that, they can't really pursue red up. They can't really go after it with everything in every way to the uttermost. See, because they say God can, but like the leper, I don't know that He will. But what did Jesus say to him? Jesus moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. Be thou clean. I will. Faith, believing, is not just accepting or agreeing that God can. Believing is knowing that God will do it for me right here, right now. I know it, and I declare it, that God will do it for me right here, right now. Oh, my friends, will God restore to you the years? Yes, He will do it for me right here, right now. Will God touch my ailing physical body? Yes. He will do it for me right here, right now. Will God turn my family situation around? Yes! He will do it for me right here, right now. Will God reverse that negative report? Yes! He will do it for me right here, right now. Can you say that, saints? Wherever you are, as we close out this service, yes, God will do it for me right here. He will do it for me right now. Yes, God will do it for me right here. He will do it for me right now. And when we believe, when we truly believe, you know what the Bible says. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Hallelujah. It said, blessed, blessed is he that believes, for there shall be a performance. Blessed is she that believes. Blessed is he that believes. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told them from the Lord. Hallelujah. When we believe, there shall be a performance. When we believe, there shall be a performance. When we believe, heaven will break out upon us. When we believe, situations will move. Mountains, obstacles will be removed. When we believe, the dead will be raised up. When we believe, the sick will be healed. When we believe, God will restore to us the years. Hallelujah. He will accelerate time on our behalf when we need him to do it. He will slow down time on our behalf when we need him to do it. He will change the report when we need him to. When we need him to do it, he will, when we believe. Can somebody say that with me? Yes, I believe, I know, and I declare, God can, God will, he will do it for me right here, right now. In fact, let's make it a bold confession of faith. Say, yes, I believe God has done it. In fact, God has done it. I'm just waiting to see the manifestation. I'm just waiting to behold it. And very soon, I will behold it. Everybody around me will behold it. God has already done it. God has already done it. Oh, Jesus. He said, blessed is she that believe. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Blessed is he that believe. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told them from the Lord. The word performance is the Hebrew word teleos, teleosis. Teleosis. It means a completing, a perfecting, a fulfillment, an accomplishment. Remember that psalm, that scripture, we've read that scripture before in Psalm 138, verse 8, where the Lord said, the Lord will perfect everything that concerns you. Steliosis, he will complete it. He will perform it. He will do it to the uttermost. That's it. You remember when we said pursue it? He will do it to the uttermost. He will do it completely. He will do it completely. Hallelujah. When you believe, there will be a performance, a consummation, a perfection. God will restore to you the years. God will change your story. God will turn the situation around. God will remove every hindrance and every obstacle. God will turn your captivity. God will raise you up and elevate you. God will change your name. God will reverse the evil report. God will bring you out. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Shout hallelujah, somebody, if you believe it. Let's close out here. Let's close out here where we started from. We're running out of time. Let's close right here where we started from. Go right back there to 1 Samuel chapter 30. After the Lord told David, go pursue, because you will overtake them and you will recover. Well, what did David do? Immediately, he began to pursue the enemy. And in verse 17, the Bible says here, And David smote them. He smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 17. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. He recovered all. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking, nothing lacking, nothing lacking, nothing lacking, nothing lacking to them. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. You will recover all in the name of Jesus. You will recover all in the name of the risen Christ. Wherever you are today, hearing me under the sound of my voice, I want you to stand to your feet and lay hold on the word of God today for yourself, for your family. Lay hold upon it. Lay hold upon it. Believe it. Believe it. Expect it. Pursue it. Possess it. Believe it. Expect it. Pursue it. Possess it. God will restore to you the years. You will recover all. God will perfect everything that concerns you. There will be a performance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.